I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney coming here from the Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who understands it's not just a mortgage, but it is your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage on this football Friday around the country. Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, packed up the old trucks, and we are live from Radio Row. We were here last year. The pageantry, the energy, the Pennsylvania Convention Center. And listen, this is one of those rare spectacles that pushes everything else aside. We're honored to be here. Our friends with the USAA, it's a phenomenal setup. We got a lot to hit. Looking forward to a TK doing today,
buddy.
You good?
I'm doing fantastic. I just had my stint on Radio Row talking to all of our friends around
Who'd you see today, world.
Ike Reese was out there. Down from North Carolina. He's a Virginia Tech fan alum.
Stick it to him a little
bit. Of course I did, man. Come on now. I mean, it's been 15 years.
It took you 15 years to holler back.
But we're bowling. We're bowling in the Orange Bowl.
Yes.
Kevin Carter was hanging around. I saw him.
He looks like he can still play.
He does look like he should still play. I forgot to talk trash to him because Virginia is playing Florida.
Yep.
In the Orange Bowl, but it's been fun.
I know, you guys aren't accustomed to playing in the big bowl.
Yeah, you're right.
You're not conditioned to talk smack after the final regular season game.
Well, not especially not to like Florida.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, are we going to talk to Wake Forest or somebody
Where's NC State?
Exactly.
Any Wolfpack fans? I can maybe saddle up to them and let them know that we're superior.
It's always great. You see all the military organizations that are here. They have it's just really cool to be in this environment. And they haven't started to filter in yet because the gala – it's still a couple of hours away, but a lot of the military men and women, executives and generals, et cetera, will filter in. They have a cocktail hour just behind us, so they'll start getting here soon, sooner rather than later, and we'll connect with them as well. So it's just great to be here.
It really is. It's an absolute honor, and one of the really cool things, because it's a crossover kind of appeal, certainly crossover appeal, but crossover in the sense that the other networks free up some of their talent. You know, generally ESPN keeps them in their, you know, little storage bin, but they're letting out Kirk Herbstreit today, so the great Herbstreit's going to stop by. Game Day's out here, of course. Bobby Carpenter, the former Buckeye linebacker, first-round pick back of the day at Dallas. We've got Napoleon McCallum, former Navy running back and Raiders running back. Final regular season game at the Coliseum coming up this Sunday for the Raiders, and our buddy Ron Jaworski in the third hour. Six-pack of picks. Teek and I are still hot. Yeah, you know, listen, we're going to do the regular show, even though this is the backdrop. I have to say, though, I've said a few times, I referenced over the years, you know, three of my buddies went to West Point. I remember when it was right before my freshman year in high school. You know, I always used to go to basketball camp, two or three every summer, and I went to West Point basketball camp. And that is when you distinguish quickly if what you made out of. Because I remember being 12 and a half years old at this point, and we were in the barracks and, you know, hearing the bugle in the morning at 4:45 with the plebes, and they're running, and we're sleeping. We're like, what is going on? You realize the culture is one of such great discipline, one of such great respect, one without compromise. It's one they willingly sign up for. But boy, oh boy, does it take a special person to be able to do that. So, again, I love doing this stuff with Army and
they
Navy.
They didn't make you wake up with them?
Well, they didn't make you woke. Well, you just woke up when you heard the bugles firing throughout the entire campus. They're banging on the pavement. Uh-huh. They're running. Hundreds of, maybe thousands of plebes running. You can't help but wake up.
Yeah, no,
what time is breakfast? 3 hours from now? I guess I'm up.
Yeah, you just hit it on the head, though, BT. That's what this is all about, this Army-Navy weekend. And it's an honor for us to be down here. But you think about these kids, and I talked about this a lot on the Radio Row that I was interviews that I was doing. And these kids are suiting up, playing the same game that I played when I was at the University of Virginia. Yet their mission just seems so much grander than what I thought my life was headed to be. I mean, they maybe have dreams to go play on the next level in the National Football League, and I know that the rules have fluctuated over the years, but it's not even about that. It's about serving this country, being the future leaders of this country in the military or in civilian life. And so we know we're going to see that. at some point. Doesn't matter. We don't know, but we're going to see these guys off the football field doing great things.
And women as well, for sure.
That's right.
As you well know, of course. So it is the highest level of respect to do this. Again, we did it a year ago. Now we just launched the show. You know, Lamar Jackson. That's funny about Lamar Jackson. The energy in which he plays, I don't know what sport he's playing. He's not playing football. I mean, he's not playing NFL football, right? He's not playing that, he's definitely not playing that. He's playing something that resembles football because there's 10 guys next to him, and you know, you throw him in, that's 11, and there's 11 people theoretically, even though it looks like there's 9 or 8 because he runs by everybody on the other side, and the boundaries seem the same, and the stadium configurations seem the same, and there's refs, and they still stink. And they've got the hankies that are yellow like the real refs, and there's coaches with headsets. And it looks like football, only it is Lamar ball.
Yeah.
Because I know as good as Michael Vick was, the arm slots. There's a look at it right there. It's a beautiful pass. He dropped down through a three-quarter dime. I mean, what he does is I don't know. I have no more platitudes.
Well,
for
BT, here's the thing, because you watch the evolution of the game, the quarterback position. It's happening, and it's just real time right now with Lamar Jackson because we're seeing it. But think about what traditional pass rush lanes are supposed to be like, right? It's like the end and the two tackles. They're pushing up field, you know, trying to gain leverage on the quarterback, get on top of him, stack him, force him into like a little constrained little area, and hopefully sack him before he throws the football, right? With Lamar Jackson, if you do that, if he scoots through or more aptly just runs around you, he's out.
Oh,
it's like,
God, yeah.
It's just the run we just saw. He goes 50-something yards or whatever it is, 40-something yards.
And 19.5 miles per hour.
And you're not catching him.
No.
You know what I mean? And the DBs are so focused because he's got a cannon in the arm, they can't turn around and look at him. And so you're stuck. And so what's happened, BT, is that defensive linemen and defensive line schemes have had to expand, right? So instead of like trying to narrow this little area around the quarterback, it becomes like we just got to contain him. So you actually expand out.
Like a shell.
Yeah, you put like a bigger shell around him so that he can't go anywhere.
Yep.
The problem with that is that he just stands in the pocket.
That's right.
And he's like, all right, I'm going to – do I like that guy? No, I don't really like that guy. Oh, wait, you're getting close? Let me take 2 steps and be 10 yards away from you.
Yep.
Right? Do I like – no, I don't like that guy. All right, that's my guy. Yep. I'm going to underhand it so you don't see it coming, and it's going to stick him right in the chest. It's going to stick to him, and he's going to make big plays. Like, it's impossible to defend him. As I was watching this game last night, BT, it was like, this looks too easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looked too easy. It didn't matter what they did. What the Jets did. Now, it may just be because the Jets are inferior in some regards.
Yeah, certainly. For sure. Secondary. It didn't look too easy against the Buffalo Bills previous week when they almost.
But that's why. That's why I'm saying this. So certain teams, if you can't match up athletically, you have no chance. Mm-hmm. And that's why they score 42 points.
Yeah.
If you can match up athletically to him defensively, like the Bills can, like the 49ers can, then you have a chance. Otherwise, it's like, dude, you don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like they scored on every drive. It felt like
it's ridiculous. He has, you know, we keep saying that there's been a college influence now.
Yeah,
conceptually, even from an energy point, you just see even John Harbaugh is more collegiate than he's ever, and he's got that spirit
right.
But it's even coming out even more so. He's just very he's always been animated and fiery, but I don't want to say that he acquiesces, but you know, I can't imagine. You know, when John Harbaugh was coming up through the coaching ranks and you look at his, you know, the people that he looked at and certainly his dad is one of them, first and foremost, because his dad was a coach. But he looked at, he began to shape his own professional views. I can't imagine he would have ever gone for it on 4th and 1 from his own 20-something yard line.
That's right.
I mean, but that's just looking at a kid who, it's like the old schoolyard theory. There's one kid in the schoolyard who's just so much better than everybody else.
Yeah.
We all have that kid in the neighborhood. No matter what you do, you're not beating him. Right now, Lamar Jackson's the kid in the schoolyard. But the difference is that he studies.
Yeah, well.
He's diligent.
And he changes the game.
And for sure.
So, because BT, that 4th and 1, I remembered it like distinctly because he didn't go for it before. They punted like 2 series before. That series, they decided to go for it. Again, deep into your – not deep, but in your own territory. If you turn it
over – That's pretty deep.
It was pretty deep, but
still.
That's
pretty deep.
If you turn it over, you're giving up points. It's almost like he didn't care about the points. It was like, I just want to do this. And I know I have the X factor in Lamar Jackson. So they don't turn around and hand it off to Mark Ingram.
Yep.
They drop back Lamar Jackson. And as a defense, you're like, all right, we're going to bring a little bit of pressure. So the ball's got to come out, right? But you can't contain him. So he just kind of dances around a little bit. Next thing you know, Andrews is 15, 20 yards downfield. Puts it right on the
40-yard gash.
40-yard gash. And it's like, how do you defend that?
I don't know.
Like, how do you
call
fourth and one in your own territory and end up – the result is a 40-yard pass to the tight end.
Who's wide open.
There's nobody 10 yards within him. So.
But is this sustainable? The conversation well, the, four – I don't mean 4 or 5 years down the road.
Yeah.
I mean – and I believe the answer is yes, but I want to throw this by you first as the former player. I mean, let's fast forward this thing to January. They're healthy. They have home field advantage. The Chiefs roll in. Maybe the Pats roll in. Maybe the Titans or the Texans roll in. Somebody rolls in to Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then maybe to Miami in the Super Bowl and the Niners or whomever's waiting. I mean, how does this team not win the Super Bowl based on what we've seen?
Well, I mean,
seriously.
Because you know, on any given Sunday, right, it's the cliche, but it happens if a team can figure out how to pressure him without compromising your second and third levels, which is hard. So – like Hollywood Brown, he's little, but he's a burner. So how do you mitigate that? You got to beat the crap out of him at the line of scrimmage, but you better not miss. You know what I mean? So it's like this devising the right game plan to make his receivers unavailable while putting pressure on him. And it's easier said than done. It sounds easy to say that. Mm-hmm. And, oh, that's cool. That makes sense, right? You just don't give him throws down the field, but then you put pressure on him. Sounds easy, but it's hard to do because if you miss on Hollywood Brown, he's 30 yards downfield, and you're trailing,
and
Lamar just kind of throws it underhand, or however he throws it down there, and it gets there, and he's 15 yards open. So there's ways to slow him, but it's hard to do. The 49ers did it pretty well. They contained him. Maybe that was because of the weather, though, because don't forget, that game was wet outside,
sure.
So it was nasty.
Yeah.
So his footing wasn't the same. Obviously, he wasn't as comfortable being the runner that we know he's great at being. The footing of his wide receivers, the accuracy in rain is just it's different. So I honestly think it might have been circumstantial that the 49ers held them to 17 points or whatever it was, because you're not seeing that on a consistent basis. No, and it's a copycat league. If someone had figured it out, we'd be seeing it. We're not seeing it.
Teak, I said this a while ago, and, you know, it was reinforced again last night. See, one of the things that's been frustrating is that, you know, doing what Teak and I do for a living, obviously, you know, we're bouncing around. Mm-hmm. We get home. When I get home from Tops on Sunday, when you get home from your marathon that you run on Sunday morning, which seemingly is every Sunday, when we settle in for 7, 8, 9 hours of football, really, from 1 Eastern all the way past the night game, we're through the night game, you've got to select what you watch. I mean, and when you do a national show, I mean, if we're just doing a show in New York, like I used to do, and like, you know, when you were playing,
that's right.
I would watch the Jets, I would watch the Giants, I would have my notepad, I would literally go first and second,
yeah.
First and 10, 4-yard handoff, Curtis Martin, second and 6.
Yeah.
I would log each Jet and Giant game. You can't do that because, you know, we have a greater responsibility, so you kind of parachute in, parachute out. And one of the things that's been frustrating to me this year is that I haven't been able to sit down and watch Lamar Jackson uninterrupted for a few hours at a time. Because I got to pay, hey, what's Patty Mahomes doing? What's Aaron Rodgers doing? What's Drew Brees doing? What's the 49ers defense doing? What's Christian McCaffrey doing? What's Dalvin Cook doing? You got to watch the rest of the stuff. And I'll say it again, like I said it 3 weeks ago. Watching Lamar Jackson play football to me right now feels like when you first saw Tiger Woods compress a golf ball, whether it was a 3-wood from the carpet or a stinger, you know, with a 2-iron that nobody else could quite do, or, you know, Bonds, even though he was roided up, just banging one into McCovey Cove. Certain things just look different, they sound different, and they feel different because they are different.
Yeah, and Lamar Jackson is different. And if you are not one of the elite teams in the National Football League, they're going to score 30 points on you.
Easy.
I
mean, he has turned the NFL, in essence, into college where, all right, let's get him out.
Yeah, bad teams you destroy.
Yeah. Get loose, RG3. You're going to go get him a pop. You're done for the day there, Lamar. That never used to happen in the NFL.
I mean, they scored 59
every
points
week
in a
with
game.
This guy.
Right, they 30, 37, 49,
yeah.
41, 45.
And the last couple of weeks have been more outside of the Niners game. That was an outlier.
Yeah.
But it's like 40-something, 40-something, 40-something.
Right.
I mean, this is amazing. They're phenomenal.
They really are.
855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. So, great start to the show. The Pennsylvania Convention Center. We're down here in downtown Philadelphia. We were here a year ago. It's the pageantry of Army Navy. We'll weave in all the guests that you want. Kirk Herbstreit coming up this hour. ESPN Game Day college analyst. He's going to be here. We've got Bobby Carpenter, former Buckeye. We've got Napoleon McCallum coming. Napoleon McCallum, former Navy running back. We have Ron. Ron Jaworski. We have our picks. And I did bring the sharp shades for the road.
Nice.
Your boy has officially popped over the 60 percentile.
I mean, we got the lights. Hey. Lights are so bright today, you need them.
That's right. 60% officially by virtue of my 5-1 week last week. This guy's been red hot. Tiki, the last 7 weeks is actually the last 7 weeks, we are both a robust 26-15-2. We have made you loot. We'll continue the roll today. We'll get a quick timeout. Back to Philadelphia in a moment right here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Very cool. Very cool. That is on brave old Army team. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney here, Football Friday, CBS Sports Radio, and CBS Sports Network. We've got Kirk Herbstreit. Kirk could be running a little late, so he's booked for 3:30-ish. Could be pushed back to 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. If that happens, we'll just flip inbounds, out of bounds, all good. We've got Bobby Carpenter rolling by as well for the Buckeyes, formerly the Buckeyes. Napoleon McCallum, a former star Navy running back, Oakland Raider. What do you think I'm actually fearful for the Coliseum. I'm not kidding.
Why?
I am actually fearful for the Coliseum this year. It's the last Raiders home game. And first of all, I think they're going to.
You mean with a win or with a.
It doesn't matter.
Just in general.
I think they're going to bludgeon. I think they're going to destroy the Jaguars right now who have quit, and the Raiders will be highly motivated to, you know, win their final game at the Coliseum. You played there. You had a 90-something yard touchdown run on New Year's.
95.
Look at him. Right, did it right to the edge, baby. Was it on the short hash or the long hash?
We were on the right hash.
The right
but
hash.
I cut back to the long hash.
I know you did. Who pulled on that? That wasn't Snee, was it?
It was Soybird.
So that's right.
Yeah.
So Teak had big moments there. I had a chance to go as a fan a few times when Jen and I lived in San Francisco, which was pretty wild, once against the Jets. And it's just that I've seen a lot of A's games there as well. It is dilapidated. It smells. It's urine ridden. The toilets have overflown into the dugouts. But there's such great history, and not just from the baseball side with Reggie and Catfish and all these Grisal, Bando, all the great names with the three championships in the 70s. The Raider fans and the Marcus Allens.
Yeah.
All the names,
you feel,
man.
The intimidation. Oof. When you play there. I remember feeling it.
Oof.
And it was, I mean, you try to block it out, but the history is amazing. You're talking about fearing, like.
I think they're going to rip down the stadium.
Like, take the seats.
I think they're going to rip the seats out. I think people are going to come with wrenches.
Anything that's not, not held down.
Yep. Crowbars, wrenches. And I don't blame them.
I mean,
honestly, I really don't blame them.
I'll tell you why I don't blame them.
They're
going to play a baseball season there.
Yeah, they don't care about the A's because the A's don't care about them. Let me tell you why I don't blame them. If I'm a Raider fan and I can somehow conceal. Like a crowbar or a wrench or something.
Take a crowbar.
Well, you could try.
You could try. Sure.
And here's why I would rip multiple seats out of that place and bring it home for my man cave, and here's why. Because if they don't do it, you know what's going to happen?
They're going to
sell them.
Yeah.
So somebody's going to make money other than the Raiders, other than the Coliseum. Just go in there and steal the seat.
I would give license to season ticket holders. But guys who are just buying tickets on the secondary market to show up and be there. Like, show me your season tickets. If you got season tickets, you can take the crowbar in.
Yeah, yeah.
You can take the screwdriver. You can take the power.
Let him in.
You
we
can
know
take
him.
The power
Joe,
tools.
Let Joe in.
You're good.
Joe's safe.
He's been here every year.
Yeah, Willie. Go ahead, Willie. You're good, buddy.
Yeah, but Bobby over there?
I don't know about Bobby. Bobby had season tickets 9 years ago. He gave up on us. Get a little intel, a little extra security over here. Please make sure Bobby's here. I can see people running on the field going nuts. Like, I'm serious. I really think, and I don't mean that they're going to, like, riot in the confrontational sense.
But what time is, hold on, let me see.
It's a late game. It's a 4:25 Eastern.
Yeah, so it's going to be.
And you know who's doing the game, too? Great job by CBS. Rich Gannon's doing the game.
Oh, nice.
So it's a former Raider, which is really cool.
Yeah, but it'll be daylight out there.
No, it won't be.
Yeah, well, it's 4 Eastern.
Yeah, but by the time the game ends, it's
so, yeah,
5
o'clock.
It
might
be. You know,
yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, I think it's the 4:25 game, too, and those extra 20 minutes from 4:05. Hopefully everybody's safe and everybody gets to maybe take something from the stadium safely without getting arrested. It's sad. It's actually sad.
Yeah.
I'm saddened to see, even though it's a dump.
Yeah, but it's time.
I know it's time. I get that.
And I get it. And the goodbye has felt forever. Felt like forever. I honestly don't know if people, like fans, are sad that it's they're leaving or excited.
Talk about the Raider fans?
Yeah, because think about
Raider
this.
Raider fans in Oakland?
Think about
and,
this.
In San Francisco?
Think about this.
They're despondent. I don't. But, I
really?
Ask the second part of your question, but okay. I can already tell you the answer.
Because
they are despondent,
now,
inconsolable.
Think about this. So it's 8 games a year,
correct?
Right? And so some of them live locally, some of them don't.
Most of them do, though, Deke.
Some of them probably don't. They travel. You see them everywhere.
They do hit the other states.
It's crazy. And so now they're getting an opportunity to go to Las Vegas if they want to stay. And it's not that far. I mean, it's far, but it's not that far.
You can't get in your car and drive 23 minutes to the Coliseum or get on BART.
Yeah,
Deke, it's disrupting their lifestyle.
But instead of going to that dump.
You're underselling.
You're now going to Vegas.
Sometimes the dump is appealing. Like, Shea Stadium was a dump.
Yeah.
That fans kind of, even though they like Citi Field. The old Yankee Stadium was a dump. I miss it. I love it. I mean, the old Meadowlands wasn't really a dump where you played. It was cavernous. It was kind of generic.
But it had
dump-like qualities
to
it.
Character.
I miss it.
It had character.
It had great character.
And it felt intimate.
Yeah, some of the best bars are the dumps, the dives.
Yeah, where the new stadium doesn't feel intimate. There's something about intimacy.
I don't know. I think the Coliseum's going to be really, really missed. You know what's weird, too? Last week we had such great games, mm-hmm. right? I mean, look at this slate. Pats, Bengals, outside of the side story with the cheating, whatever,
yeah.
or alleged cheating,
I mean,
who cares?
It is what it is.
Buccaneers at the Lions, all right, whatever. Bears at the Packers, I think that one's going to actually be pretty soon. I tell you what, I think that Packers, but that's a game, because last week's score surprised me. Like, what the hell are the Redskins doing hanging around losing by 5 points mm-hmm. to the Green Bay Packers?
The game wasn't as close as the score, but yeah, I hear you.
They never pulled away from them once.
I know, but
you know
still,
what I mean? I mean, so
but you never. It's one of those games we talk about this often. It's like one of those games where you knew Green Bay was going to win. Like you never felt threatened that they were losing the football game,
uh-huh.
but it wasn't really close.
Agreed, but
I only know that because Rondé did it, and I asked him, what the hell happened? He's like, it really wasn't close.
Yeah,
they just didn't. They didn't
very vanilla. Didn't do that. Okay,
they
all
didn't.
Right,
you know what? They didn't do like the Baltimore Ravens do. The Baltimore Ravens, if they're playing an inferior team, they let you know you're an inferior team.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers didn't do that.
Well, I don't think the Packers are able to do that. I mean,
true.
That's a nice way of explaining.
True.
I think that's a little bit too cordial. Like,
well,
I mean, the Ravens can do it because they can do it. The Packers don't do it because
they're probably
I'm not
can't.
So sure the Packers can do
so
it.
So did we overinflate the Packers? Well, I mean, they're 10-3.
You know what though? Have we really overinflated them? When was the last time you or I got on the show and hype them up? Like, we had Marcus Valdes-Scantling in studio.
We did it early. We did it early in the season.
He's been invisible, dude.
I know.
I mean, every week he has no catches.
I don't even know what his stats are.
They're horrendous. I dropped him on my fantasy team. Remember, what question did I ask him? And he's like, oh, I can't tell you. I'm like, I'm going to have to drop this guy,
dude. Yeah, 427
on,
yards
you,
and 2 touchdowns.
He's done absolutely nothing. This is the game that will be really revealing. Titans and the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Texans are coming off an ugly one. We know about the Tennessee Titans. They're rolling. Tannehill's been great. Derrick Henry's been phenomenal. Do the Titans need to be elevated a tier, or are they okay where they are, kind of lying in the weeds and maybe unexpectedly pounce on somebody in a couple of weeks in the playoffs?
No,
what do you think?
I think Tennessee, well, this is a telling game because both teams are 8-5. The division is obviously still up for grabs in a lot of ways. But Tennessee has
they play again, by the way.
I know. Yeah, that's a good job by the schedule makers, to be honest with you. Not necessarily knowing that they would be the two teams in the conversation.
Sure, they kind of stumbled upon that one.
Well, I mean, Indy could have been in the conversation as well. So Jacksonville, we didn't really know. But with Nick Foles, you kind of expected them to be around. But it turns out to be the right ones to get these two games in the last 3 weeks, Houston and Tennessee. But Tennessee feels with Mariota on the bench and Tannehill – taking the reins as a team that can beat anybody on any given day because they have a good running game. They throw the ball downfield. Their defense might not be able to hold up, but it feels like there's an it there that hasn't been there for years
mm-hmm.
in Tennessee. So it's a must-win for Tennessee at home against a division rival who they're trying to beat in the division and obviously to make the playoffs.
They've got to win that game. You know, listen, even if they lost a tight one, could they theoretically come back and win in Houston, sure, but I'm pretty sure the Titans are playing the Saints in the penultimate game. Hold on. I believe that they are playing the Titans have – hold on. What are, yes, they're so the Titans have to play the Texans, the Saints, and the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans, I feel, have a much easier game outside of that matchup with the Titans. I'm pulling it up right here. I'm almost positive it's a much easier game. And they are playing – the Bucks. Actually, in Tampa, not easy like we thought it may have been 2 months ago.
It's not an automatic win.
But we'd rather play the Bucks or the Saints.
Yeah, it's not an automatic win.
Not an automatic win. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. We are on the road downtown Philadelphia at the Pennsylvania Convention Center getting ready for Army-Navy. I know we've got Herbie, Kirk Herbstreit. Mike, is he definitely next segment? He's good. Okay, good. So Herbie is on time. He's got the chopper that dropped him off and is getting ready to do a little game day this weekend down here. I love that they do Army-Navy game day. That's so awesome. Give these young men a real day without interruptions on the stage. No SEC, no Big Ten, no Big 12, no ACC, Army, Navy, and all its glory. So we'll get that time out. Kirk Herbstreit is next, and right now we go back to New York City, get the update. Jay Berman's got you. Here's Jay.
All righty, giving Navy a little love. There is the Navy fight song. Tiki and Tierney back here in the Pennsylvania Convention Center. It's time to ask the pros here on the show. Do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's how you do it. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio, at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros and make sure you stick around and listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So, with that, we have a chance to, once a year, they let him out of his ESPN cage. All right, we'll let him cross over. We'll let him cross over with CBS. We had him last year. The guy's a broadcasting legend, and it's funny because you put him on TV, and he still looks young, but he's been
I was going to say, don't let him treat you like that. Yeah, you're not old enough to be a legend.
No, he is, exactly. But he's been doing it a long time. You don't realize how long he's been doing it. That is Kirk Herbstreit, who's back with us here on Tiki and TV.
Great to be back with you guys, man.
What's going on, man?
How about Lamar Jackson last night? How much fun is he to
watch? Why did you tell the nation you didn't think he would be good back? No, I'm just kidding.
No, man, I wasn't part of that team.
I'm totally kidding.
Yeah, I've always looked at these college quarterbacks who have great skill sets and the college OCs take advantage of, and just wondered. I just assumed maybe in the NFL it's just too physical. They can't take the pounding. You know, when Mike Vick came out, he had a good career. But I don't think he still had to learn an NFL offense. He still had to make plays from the pocket. He would create. But he would create on his own.
Yeah.
There are very few design plays for him to run the zone read or a quarterback draw. And now we're just seeing this kid do things that in college we see guys do this every week, but not to his level. I remember when he did this to Florida State, what he's doing now to Bill Belichick. I remember now Florida State's Florida State. They have NFL players all over the defense.
That's right.
And he's running through them, making them look like middle school players. And I'm like, man, this is just – you just don't see the twitch. Yeah. And he's so long and lanky. And to have that kind of twitch left to right, just embarrassing guys in college. And I'm like, be interesting to see if they make him a receiver in the NFL or what they're going to do. And he's getting the last laugh now, man. He's having a lot of fun.
Do you think scouting personnel in the NFL, GMs, will look at this and say, we can go here now? Because it felt like – you almost needed license to go here.
Yeah, but I think what I would warn is I've been doing this for 24 years, and the only guy that's in his stratosphere that played that position athletically is Michael Vick.
Yeah.
There's only two.
So it's not about the position and the quarterbacks playing this way. It's about him. I mean, it's about Lamar Jackson.
And you can appreciate this because you played so many games. I would say – when I watch these defenses, you have to account for him in a college game with a quarterback that can run.
Yep.
You have to account for him. What that means for people that are listening is you've got to bring a safety down into the box area because we cannot let his legs beat us. Mm-hmm. That's where a lot of college defenses start. Problem is now you simplify coverage because now you can play man-to-man coverage.
Yep.
And now you've got one guy assigned to that quarterback. Problem is nobody – name an NFL linebacker or safety that can tackle him one-on-one.
None.
Nobody.
You're right. So it's like go do this losing proposition to contain him.
Think about the defensive coordinators he's going through, defensive minds he's going through, Bill Belichick, Wade Phillips, Pete Carroll. I mean, one after another
Each of them with three decades worth of playbooks and adjustments in their head and their portfolio.
And he's avoiding big hits.
Yeah, well, last night he got popped. He got popped once.
He did.
But not in the legs. It was more in the chest area.
But like a lot of – I've heard people say, well, Robert Griffin exploded on the scene, then he went away.
Nope.
This is not Robert. Robert Griffin was straight line speed. This guy is side to side.
He's crazy.
Side to side with straight line speed. So he's just a rare talent. And the reason he's throwing the ball well is, like I said, he could always throw.
Yeah.
But if you can't play – zone pressure or play man on this side and zone on this side and play where you can trick him, you have to play simple coverage.
How do you do that, Kurt? How do you trick him? Because BT and I were like speculating about this because like rush lanes are different with him. You can't like compress the pocket because he sneaks through when he's out.
Yeah.
You got to like contain him, like make it really wide so he doesn't run. But then he stands back there for 10 seconds.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know. I don't know what the answer is unless you have a guy that can match his talent athletically and spy with him. Like last night I watched the Jets a couple times. They didn't spy. They played man. There was nobody there. I'm like, what are you doing?
But even if you spy, then you're playing 11 on 10.
I know. I know.
So that's, I don't know if that's the answer.
I know. And I think they've got nice pieces around
him.
They do. That complement it really well. They can run the ball with Mark. And
thank you, Ozzie.
You got Hollywood Brown. I mean, they
Ozzie Newsome should be executive of the year. Even though he's been retired for a year.
Roman, it's like Andy Reid, what he's done with Mahomes. He's a West Coast guy.
Yeah.
At this stage of his career, to a change to basically a Big 12 offense with what he's doing with Mahomes. And now Greg Roman, same thing, West Coast guy, recognizes instead of like them inheriting college quarterbacks and saying, we're the National Football League. You have to learn our system.
Yeah.
They're saying, screw that.
Yeah. We're going to invent the system.
Exactly. We're going to change our system to match these players' skill sets.
How much did Cap have to do with that? Because obviously Roman had cap in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think it obviously helped. I think having that chance to learn what he could do, and Cap did things differently than what we're watching now.
Yeah, it's not this.
But it's the same principle of being willing to get outside of being more of a traditional West Coast offense. But, man, right now they've got it going. But they are running a college offense, basically, is what they're doing. And these NFL defensive minds are not catching up to it yet.
You know what I want to ask? We're talking to Kirk Herbstreit, who's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So I know you have kids. Tiki's got kids. I've got – your kids are getting a little bit older now, right? They're pretty good athletes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four boys, two that are freshmen. They actually go to Clemson, preferred walk-ons, a junior that's in high school and in seventh grade.
Could they have got a scholarship somewhere else?
I think, they could have.
They wanted to play with Dabo.
I think they're really intrigued by Dabo and the opportunity to play there and be a part of that culture and that program.
Okay. That's awesome.
So I was going to say, I set it up that
twins,
way because.
Right?
Yeah. Yep, no, identical.
I knew that.
You're identical too?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we talked when they were born.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, we talked. Like 17 years ago, we talked about twins.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because my mom obviously raised twins.
Of course.
Yeah.
How
old are your kids?
3 and 4.
Oh, so you're just starting out.
Yeah.
Wow.
No,
I probably should have started a few years ago. So I wake up on Saturday, right? And I go in my home office and I work on Sunday. So I'm doing notes and I'm juggling family life and boom, pop on the TV in my office and we're coming. And here we go. Here's the game day show. And I always wondered, I'm like, these guys are in the coolest venues, and I know you have a good time with everybody on set. What when you get in on like a Thursday? Like, what do you guys forget? I know what you do on the air.
Yeah.
What is it like when you roll into these cities like Thursday or Friday? You guys partying? You got to be going to the best restaurants.
Yeah.
Hitting up dinners. You guys got a blast.
I mean, it changes over the years. I've been doing it 24 years. So when he was playing, it was a very different approach when you would come on a college campus to how it is the last.
In what way though?
You would go out.
You'd go out and hang out.
And you'd go to a cool restaurant, go to maybe a couple bars. You know, you're 25, 26 years old.
Gotcha.
And then all of a sudden you get older and you're like, you're just trying to.
I just want sleep.
Yeah, I want to sleep. And you know, we still go to a really good meal. We have a kind of a team that's kind of scouts everything out for us. They find out the cool restaurants to go to. And that's probably the best part. You know, we're in Baton Rouge one week. You get to have the food from that area. You go to Tallahassee or you go wherever.
Yep.
That part of it's fun. It's fun to engage. I mean, game day goes to the biggest game of the week typically. So there's an energy, man, on those college campuses. It's hard to rival.
What's your favorite spot? Honestly, forget about the horseshoe for a moment.
Yeah.
You know what that means to your heart. What's the coolest scene?
Eugene, Oregon might be one that stands out. The SEC, the passion that they have is pretty unique. Penn State's a great spot. Penn State
did a game there this year.
Yeah, I did.
What did you think?
Whiteout. I did the Michigan game. It was amazing.
How would you describe the whiteout?
Well, I mean, it's intimidating.
Yes.
Because you feel overwhelmed in a sense.
Yes, exactly.
And I can imagine being on the field.
Yeah.
Like, just engulfed and overwhelmed by that.
It kind of felt like it, honestly,
because at the end of the game, I felt like Michigan had figured it out.
Yeah, second half, they were coming.
They were pounding the rock, even though they had the best run defense Penn State did in the nation at the time, at like 1.6 yards per carry, whatever.
Yeah.
But they had figured it out. And I almost feel like I mean, they were just overwhelmed by the environment at the beginning, and then they started because they're young. Two running backs are young.
Yeah,
they started to figure it out. You know, Shane looked okay, and they if it wasn't for a drop pass, they're right in that thing, and it goes over.
But the scene, though, like it's like everybody. I don't know if they hand them a white shirt. Like nobody, nobody has a Navy shirt.
No, no,
it's 110,000 whites. Literally, everybody has one on.
They started that.
They do. Well, I mean, Michigan fans.
Well, that's
yeah, yeah, that's right. They started it in 05. And it was just a student section.
Uh-huh.
So you'd get an overview, and you would just see like 20,000 people mm-hmm. just in all white. And then I don't know what year they decided to go the whole stadium. But it's intimidating, but it's just fun. You know, I mean, I think Kansas City might be the only NFL stadium where you might be able to pull that off. In the NHL, we see it all the time, you know, with teams when they get to the postseason. But to see over 100,000 people, it's a pretty cool scene.
Now, when you guys, when game day travels and you go do all these at these venues, you do research into the teams. Now, you got Army-Navy this weekend, and it's amazing. Got the uniforms, which are unique for this week. Obviously, Navy's going with the throwback for the Heisman to the 60s.
Cool.
And Army is the first cavalry unit that represents them. When you do this game, or when you're here for this game, what does this mean to you guys?
For me, it's – I'm an old school guy. You know, I'm a traditionalist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the playoff rankings.
No.
It's not about who's going to the NFL. It's about just watching like this video of watching the tradition of it all. I love it's option football, which I love. It's you know, they might get a gain of 4 or 5. I mean, they're grinding for every yard.
Yep.
They're trying to annihilate one another on every play. And then they come back and they do it the next play.
Yeah.
And it always seems to be a one-possession game. It comes down to the last, you know, last few minutes of the game. Now, usually game day goes on in the morning, and then I take a train to New York and we do the Heisman. This year I don't have to do the Heisman. First time I've ever
they already
been able
said
to
Burrow's
going to
win it.
Joe's
guys, Herbie, don't waste your time. Burrow's
exactly.
going to win it going away.
We're good. So
stay at the game.
I'm
going to
see my first Army-Navy game
from
the sidelines.
Cool.
That's
so
great.
I'm fired up about that. But, yeah, I think it'll be a good one.
Let me ask you about Burrow just to transition quickly to that. You know, not if he's going to win the Heisman because, I mean, I think we all think he's going to. I mean,
yeah, landslide.
Yeah. Do you subscribe to the theory that generally you need X amount of throws at the college level to have a sense of what they might become on Sunday? Because a guy like Trubisky mm-hmm. burst on the scene, didn't play a ton at Carolina. He's been a little bit uneven up and down. But somebody like Deshaun Watson, who played a lot, boom, he's far more consistent. Lamar, boom, consistent. Are you worried about Burrow transitioning? Is this we know he's talented.
Yeah.
But is this real, or is this you're not sure real?
I think it's as real as I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
There are two college quarterbacks right now that are playing at a different level. Tua got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Tua and Joe Burrow. And then there's a gap, and then there's everybody else. I don't mean by skill set.
Yeah.
Because Trevor Lawrence is special.
Okay.
I'm talking about quarterback positions about processing information, getting the ball out, and getting it to the right person. I would challenge you to watch Andrew Luck or any other quarterback that you just talked about in college and compare them to what Joe Burrow is doing. Joe Brady came over from the New Orleans Saints, where he spent a lot of time with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and he brought that system into Baton Rouge. And if you watch their offense, they've got 5 receivers out. He's one step ahead of the defensive coordinator on every snap. He shows up Sunday let's say they played Ole Miss on Saturday. He shows up Sunday, already has his iPad out, already studying film. He's basically an NFL quarterback playing college. He takes his classes online. He's locked in. And I'm telling you, this dude, he's a linebacker mentality playing quarterback, and he's got an ability to process information like I've never seen before in a college
game. He's fun.
He's
wow,
a freak.
What a scout report.
Yeah, I would take him.
Goodness.
I would take him one without even.
No hesitation.
Unless Chase Young, you wanted a, you know, Derek Brown. Unless
sure.
you're looking for a game wrecker as a defensive lineman. If you need a quarterback, no-brainer.
Well, listen, man, it's always a treat. You are you're part of America, man. You really are.
Thank
you're,
man.
You're a staple in all of our homes. You're just very likable. You do a great job.
Thank you,
good
man.
Seeing
I appreciate
you
it. Great seeing you guys.
Good to see you. Good luck
sir.
To your sons.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
There he is, Kirk Herbstreit. So when ESPN frees you next year, we'll see you again.
All right.
There you go, brothers. Out of course, so would everybody. Tiki and Tierney, hour two
good,
coming
Kirk.
Up. Inbounds, out of bounds. We've got Bobby Carpenter as well. Back to Philadelphia in a minute. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.